Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to a beautiful podcast. I'm your host, Spring Developer Advocate Josh Long, and this show is all about the real heroes behind Spring and its ecosystem. In this week's exciting installment of a beautiful podcast, I'm excited to welcome Spring security engineer Joe Granja. Now, first things first, forward warning, this was recorded May of last year, 2018. And so it's with some chagrin that I only now, in March of 2019, released this interview. But there's some good news to that. There's a silver lining in this particular cloud, which is all the forward-looking things about which we spoke in this in this interview from last year have all since come to be. So we're going to talk about Spring Security 5.1 and the newfound resource server support and all the stuff that's in there. That's already out there now. So you can actually go to start.spring.io. By the way, start.spring.io has been revamped. You may have noticed that. It's a brand new experience. So if you haven't been there in a minute, go check it out. But there, you can search for OAuth client and OAuth resource server support, and you'll get new checkboxes that are new options that you can add to your application out of the box. This is one in a series of different interviews that I've done so far focused, or at least that turn on the topic of security. And that's because I think security is one of those things that is not nearly so often talked about, but needs to be thought about, right? It's something that has a huge impact in performance and security and even in fleshing out parts of the domain of your application. These days, in a microservices context, in a multi-tenant software as a service context, the question of who is making requests, who is asking for certain things in your system is something that I think is best handled by Spring Security. So it's worthwhile thinking about it. When we talk about performance, we talk about how do I take long-lived credentials like a username and password, which must be encoded, and then exchange it for short-lived credentials like an OAuth token. Well, that's something that Spring Security can help you with as well, and that gives you performance benefits because you're no longer paying the cost of doing password encoding. This episode. It was a lot of fun for me to record. I was talking to Joe from the UK when he was in Toronto, and as I record this, I'm in Montreal, Canada for ConFu, where I'll be speaking today and tomorrow. So it's a kind of a we're in the same country, separated by a year and a few hundred miles, right? I think that's kind of nice. I'll be getting around, and I just wanted to kind of give you the rundown on where I'll be and when I'll be. I'm right now in Montreal, Canada, as I said, but I'm going places, my friends. I'm going places. From here, it's off to London for the Spring One Tour London stop. Don't miss that. I'll be in Amsterdam right after that for the Spring One Tour stop there. Then it's off to Pleasanton, California for a customer visit. Then I'll be in New York City on the 2nd of April for the Kafka Summit, where I'll be speaking with Tim Berglund and James Waters, Pivotal SVP James Waters. Then it's off to Cape Town, South Africa for the Cape Town Java User Group and the Spring One Tour in Johannesburg. Then I'll be at DevCon in Mauritius, which is another country just south of South Africa. And then I'll be back in Cape Town for the Spring One Tour installment there. Then I'm off to Belgrade. Belgrade is on the 13th of April for the IT Connect conference. Then I'm off to Hangzhou, China, right, where I'll be speaking at a large user of Spring and their summit there. So, I'm around. If you're in any of these places around these times, don't hesitate to reach out to me on Twitter at StarbucksMan, StarbuxMan. As usual, I'm always interested in hearing from you. So, with that, we've got a lot to cover, so I'm going to go ahead and get to this interview. Enjoy. All right, we're live. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, take two. For those in the, we lost the last episode, so we're going to try this again. This is the result of cloud software relying on local state, and I'll never understand why. So,
Without further ado, hi, Joe.
Oh, hey, Josh. How's it going?
Good. Good to talk to you again. So, Joe, you're Joe Granja, the lead of the Spring Security OAuth efforts on the Spring team. How are you today, sir?
I am doing great. How about you?
I heard you're actually sick. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better. I still got this lingering cough and throat kind of, you know, infection, I guess. But I'm doing a lot better. Almost there.
And so this is me demanding that you redo a talking podcast while you're sick.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying the Spring team? How are you enjoying being on the team?
I love it.
Bad people like myself.
Oh, dude, you make me laugh. I love you.
I'm grateful you could make the time to join us today. I know you have a lot of things you could be doing. Tell us about yourself. Where are you as you're being sick? I'm in the UK right now. I have a talk at the Manchester Jug, and I'm going to DevOps UK tomorrow. And you're on some other part of the planet. Where are you?
Yeah, no, I'm in Toronto, and born and raised in Toronto. I'm based out of Toronto here, and the weather's finally getting better.
Oh, I love it. Springtime.
Yes.
Beautiful time. I love Toronto as well, you know, so that's I'm a little jealous. I'm in the UK, and I love the UK, but Toronto, good people, great weather. Jealous. If you weren't sick today, what would you be working on?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm putting together, I'm going to a client meeting next week, and I'm just in the process of putting together a demo. It's actually going to be a workshop at the client meeting. So, I mean, it's a demo, but it's more about, you know, just doing prep work for the workshop. It's going to be basically, we're just, it's going to be OAuth OpenID Connect workshop implementation, just establishing some patterns and ultimately establishing an architecture for the client.
All right. Okay. So you work on the Spring team, you work on the OAuth stuff. You joined us through, well, how did you come to the Spring team? I guess that's the first question.
Yeah. I mean, I was, I joined Pivotal Labs about, just under 4 years ago.
The work of working with clients is something you're familiar with, right?
Yes. No, I've been doing this. I've been in this industry for I think about 21 years now. And my background is consulting. I was consulting for quite a bit of my career, mainly in Toronto, Canada, or primarily in Toronto, Canada, and primarily working with banks. Just working with a lot of experience with retail banking and trading software and so forth with pretty much all the big banks here in Canada. My background really is work, you know, implementing Spring-based applications. I've been using Spring for maybe about 12 years or a little longer than that. And, bottom line is I love Spring. Spring makes my life easy. It allows me to write less code, focus on the business logic. Spring has been a lifesaver for me and all the projects I've been working on for years. So, yeah.
Isn't that bad for consulting when it takes away lines of code? Isn't that the old yarn? Consultants live lines of code written yet?
You know what? I don't know. Obviously, if you got to write more code, then you could charge more dollars, right?
We're kidding, of course. I hope.
Of course. Know. No, we're definitely kidding, right? But, you know, in the end, hey, everyone's got to make money, right? But, you know, you want to play fair, right? But I don't look at it that way. The less code I could write and the faster I could deliver the solution to the client, that makes me look good, right? And I just get more business, right? It's just good business practice, right? And Spring ultimately allows me to write a lot less code and be way more productive and efficient and ultimately deliver results for the client, right? So that's the way I look at it. I don't want to have to keep repeating code on every single project they go on, that boilerplate code that is just typical in every project that you work on. You know, every single one, right? That's why Spring exists. That's why Spring is so successful. That's why everyone's using Spring. That's why I use Spring.
It's gonna be big one day, man. It's gonna be big.
What's that?
It's gonna be big one day. So, So what are you working on the spring, the old spring team now?
Well, I was brought on to, you know, I didn't finish my thought there, but, yeah, I started with Pivotal Labs about 4 years ago. And then just over 2 years ago, I came onto the spring team, you know, working alongside, the lead on the spring security, Rob Winch. It's awesome working with Rob Winch. It's been an absolute pleasure. Super nice guy. Really happy, on the spring team, and especially the type of work I'm doing. You know, back 2 years ago, you know, Rob was looking for a resource to help on the OAuth efforts. So that was the main motivator to hire a resource back then. It's definitely an area that I've been interested in, and the area I wanted to focus. So it was really a timing thing. It was a good timing thing on my end. You know, at that time I was looking for a new challenge within the company. You know, Spring is pivotal. I love Spring. Maybe I could join the Spring team, right?
There's a lot of opportunities on the Spring team, by the way, for those of you listening, pivotal.io/careers.
Yeah, no, the team has been growing quite a bit, especially the past year, and it's definitely going to scale quite a bit over the next couple of years for sure. So yeah, check that out. Yeah, so I came onto the team about 2 years ago, and my focus was to, you know, work on OAuth, figure out the new direction with OAuth. You know, as some of you already are aware, this, you know, OAuth, I mean, there's a storied history, right, Josh, with OAuth, yeah, in Spring. And so I'll give you a little bit of background. There is, you know, as a lot of you are aware, there is a Spring Security OAuth project. It's been around for quite a few years, and probably about 5 years, I think, or maybe longer.
And 2011, at least.
2011, yeah. So longer. And, you know, there's also OAuth functionality in other projects, you know, in Spring Boot 1.5, you got Spring Social, Spring Cloud Security, you know, so it's a little bit fragmented throughout the Spring ecosystem. And it's, you know, it could be challenging for users, you know, that are, you know, have OAuth requirements for their project and wondering, which project do I use? Do I use Spring Security OAuth? Do I use Spring Social? Do I use a combination? You know, and, you know, there's some duplicated functionality as well, across a couple of the projects. So, you know, we had to figure out, what are we going to do? Are we going to, you know, Rob and I, that is, we have to figure out, what's the new direction? Are we going to refactor one or more of those projects, or are we going to unify the functionality, the OAuth functionality, into Spring Security proper? And that was the decision that we made. We have to make it easy for the user. We do not want the user to be thinking about, okay, which project do I use? It should be a clear choice to the user. It should be easy. It's like, okay, I need OAuth, I go to Spring Security. That's it, right? It should be that simple. So that's, you know, that was the decision that we made. And about a year and a half ago, I started, you know, doing the R&D efforts and figuring out, okay, what are the existing Java OAuth client libraries out there? Because client support was the initial focus. So I did some research on existing client libraries, figuring out, you know, who's, you know, which libraries are doing things really well and other ones that are maybe not doing things so well, just doing the research and gaining an understanding and ultimately learning from using those libraries and figuring out, okay, how can we make it even better? Right. So that was the initial exercise. And out of that effort, we were going to choose a backing implementation for our new OAuth client support, which we decided to choose Nimbus. Nimbus is definitely by far the most complete OAuth OpenID Connect JWT Jose implementation out there. So we decided to use Nimbus as our backing implementation.
In the world of OAuth, yes, what are some of the constituent parts? What is the client, first of all, and what is Jose?
Yes. Well, let's talk about, I'll talk about Jose, second. The first thing I'll talk about is, and this is where it all should start, is the OAuth roles, right? And OAuth 2 authorization framework defines four roles. You got the OAuth client, the authorization server, the resource server, and the resource owner, right? I'm gonna go through an example, just because it'll make it a lot more clear for users that are not familiar with OAuth. A typical use case: if I go to Stack Overflow and I want to register, my profile with Stack Overflow, it gives me these options. For example, and a lot of websites provide these options where you could register your own profile, brand new profile with Stack Overflow, or you could leverage your existing profile information at another provider. For example, log in with Google, log in with Facebook. You've all seen that. You've all seen those features within different websites that allows you to log into to that application using your credentials from another provider. So if I were to, you know, register with Stack Overflow using my Google credentials, I would click on login with Google, and the Stack Overflow application would redirect to Google. So Google is the authorization server, in playing the authorization server in this scenario. And Stack Overflow, the Stack Overflow application, is the OAuth application or the OAuth client running in the OAuth application. So you'll see those terms used interchangeably: OAuth application, OAuth client. It's the same thing. So those are the two roles. I'm the resource owner. Right. So, you know, I click on login with Google. It comes back with the consent screen. It says, do you authorize Stack Overflow to access your user information, for example, email and name or profile information? I click on authorize. And then ultimately, behind the scenes, the Stack Overflow application will call the user info endpoint on Google to access my user information. So that user info endpoint, that is the resource server. The resource server ultimately protects resources. In this case, it's my resources, right? My resources are protected. They're secure via OAuth. So the OAuth resource. So those are the four roles in that use case. Yeah.
So do the does the client then it's the same contract, right? The way the client works with the service provider is the same for all of them. Hence the purpose of the standard, or is there different kinds of client flows these days?
Yes. Yeah, no, there is. The flow that I specifically talked about, which is the most secure flow, is the authorization code flow. It's the most secure because ultimately your user credentials or my user credentials in that use case, in that flow, does not go through Stack Overflow, right? I get redirected to Google and then I enter my credentials through Google, right? So ultimately my credentials do not get shared with Stack Overflow. So it is the most secure in that respect. There are other flows or grant types, authorization grant types, as it's named in the spec. We have the resource owner password grant flow, client credentials, and the implicit. I mean, the other use, the resource owner password credentials flow is not as secure when I'm comparing to the authorization code grant flow, because ultimately my user credentials would go through the Stack Overflow application, right? So, you know, in that case, you know, for the resource owner flow, you want to ensure that the application where you're entering your credentials owns your credentials too. But in this case, it doesn't. Stack Overflow doesn't own my credentials, right? So you don't want to use that flow in that case. But those are the four standard grants or flows.
So what if I have an Android client or an HTML5 browser client? Which flow would a mobile client use versus, for example, an HTML5 page versus, for example, a third-party website?
Yeah, typically, you know, in those cases, you use the implicit flow, right? Same thing kind of happens there where it's similar to the authorization code flow where you get redirected to the provider. So Google, and I log in with my credentials. So the credentials are not shared once again, right? But what happens in this case is when the authorization response comes back to the client or the mobile app, the access token is in the response in a fragment. And at that point, the, you know, the JavaScript application or the mobile application would extract the access token from the fragment and then basically leverage that access token for making, you know, resource calls.
Interesting. So you're using Nimbus, and that's the basis, the foundation for the support.
Yep.
What needed to be done after that?
Well, I mean, we basically started off, you know, for 5.0, we just released that last November. It was the initial OAuth client support, right? The client role, right? The major feature was OAuth 2 login, you know, just that use case that I just described with Stack Overflow, you know, being able to authenticate into an application instead of using form login or, you know, client certificate authentication or LDAP, you know, allowing another authentication mechanism, OAuth 2 login within Spring Security, right? And OAuth 2 login implements also OpenID Connect. So we have two different scenarios with the OAuth 2 login feature. Now, if you're using Google, which is an OpenID Connect provider, then it's OpenID Connect authentication is what is happening behind the scenes, right? And ultimately, the result of that is there's an ID token, right, during the authentication process. But in the case of, for example, GitHub, if I was using GitHub to log into my application, now GitHub is not an OpenID Connect provider. It implements the authorization code flow. So it's a variation of OAuth 2 login. Ultimately, we get an access token. We you know, at the end of the flow, and that extra step that happens is we call the user info endpoint to get user information, right? Using that access token. So it's very similar to, I mean, it's, you know, we've implemented similar to OpenID Connect where we're able to obtain user information via the access token that was granted, but there is no ID token piece, right, as there is in the OpenID Connect. So that was the initial feature that was implemented in 5.0 and a lot of other base, you know, classes and core interfaces that are going to come into play as we keep, you know, continue to build client features, and now as we're starting the resource server features as well, for which is targeted for 5.1.
Oh, really? Okay, good. So that the resource server, that's a big deal too. So this OAuth support, there's a lot of, you just mentioned Stack Overflow, we mentioned Google, obviously Facebook and GitHub, all, forgive the pun, spring to mind. So a lot of different options here. I know that Spring Security is the Spring Security support in Spring Boot has default support for, what is it, five different OAuth clients, different, you know, GitHub, Google, whatever, Facebook.
Yeah, and Okta, the four, yep.
Four, Okta, right. So that's very convenient, right? And Okta is a good example there. Okta is a hosted, an authentication provider as a service kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're a hub. You can go there. They act as your Active Directory. They act as your directory. They manage all your users, or at the very least, they interface with the system of on-prem or whatever that actually does manage the records, and they then vend that access as a OAuth, right? So they can then authenticate users using whatever using Okta, but they can then provide they can support any OAuth client that wants to talk to them. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've definitely played around with Okta a little bit. I'm not fully familiar with all the features that it's capable of, but yeah, at the features that I've worked with is, yeah, you could configure your own clients within the developer.okta service there. So I've configured my own clients, configured my own users, established my own scopes, and so forth. And you could also do specialized mappings, right, for, the ID token that's minted, or when you're calling a user info endpoint, if you want some custom attributes. I was definitely very impressed with Okta's identity management, as a service, I guess you would call it that.
So companies like Okta, and of course our friend Matt Rabel over at Okta would appreciate, but I'm sure he'd appreciate all the airtime. With companies like Okta, with a provider like Okta, you're doing the authentication with Okta, right? So OAuth is not meant to act as the thing that does the authentication. It delegates that to something like Okta. So
exactly.
If people are using OAuth with Spring, they're not giving up their existing security solution. They're instead using a protocol to talk to that existing security solution, right? So Okta,
exactly.
Active Directory. Theoretically, tomorrow, Microsoft could maybe they already have, I don't know, they could add a checkbox that says here, support OAuth connectivity to Active Directory, users and so on or whatever. And so you can plug in whatever OAuth identity provider you want, OAuth capable identity provider you want. You can talk to it in a uniform way. So there's a number of them out there. There's of course the we've got our own, right? We've got the Spring Security OAuth support, the old Spring Security OAuth support that in turn underpins UAA, which is the user authentication and authorization service inside of Cloud Foundry, our productized version of that, right? And and we've got Red Hat have a product called KeyCloak, an open source product called KeyCloak, which acts as a identity provider as well, and that's meant to support OAuth as well natively. So, in theory, all these things would work with all those, right? What we're doing here in the client support.
Yeah.
So that opens up a whole wide world of interesting options. And now that's built into Spring Security 5, which is already out there. That was last year, right? 2017 that was shipped.
November.
Yeah. Crazy. And of course there are some other, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention some of the other, let's just say nice features, like full on integrated, reactive support in Spring Security 5 for the basic, Spring Security, mechanism. Not quite there for our OAuth support, but, there's a Spring Security itself. The base framework has now integrated with that, and you can use Spring Security 5. There's now a smarter story for password encryption, isn't that right? Or encoding. Is that not encryption? Is it encryption? Might be encryption.
Password encoding. You're talking about in 5.0. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a revamp. Rob did a revamp of the password encoding, mechanism and the different hashing algorithms.
Right. Okay. So I didn't get that completely wrong, Rob. If you're listening, see, I pay attention. So it sounds like there's a lot of really good stuff in 5.0, and this OAuth stuff, of course, has been. People in the audience may not know, but I talked to Joe far more often than I'm sure he'd like, because I always have questions on this OAuth stuff. I'm so keen on it. And you did a really, really, really good job. I'm sure you've heard that feedback from the community. And I know Matt Rabel loves it as well. So,
great.
What is the future? You mentioned the resource server. That's 5.1. What else do we have to look forward to? What's the sort of strategy? What is the resource server stuff imply?
Yeah. Yeah. We brought in, we got a new team member. I guess he's, Josh Cummings has been on the team for, I guess, about a couple of months now. I think it's been 2 months. He's come on board to help me with the whole OAuth effort. And he's actually running with the resource server, which is targeted for 5.1. I believe it's 5.1 is as of right now. Anyways, it's looking like July, but that might change. Always best to look at the GitHub milestones and the dates on there, but it's looking like July. And so what we're targeting for 5.1 is, I mean, client is obviously the most used out of the role. I mean, you got client, resource server, authorization server, right? Mm-hmm. So clients number one, highly used you know, out of those three roles. I mean, authorization servers are your identity provider. I mean, typically you buy a product, right? Like Okta, for example, right? Yeah. That provides OAuth OpenID Connect support, and you just integrate with that authorization server. So, you know, we started with the client, resource servers next, and people are asking for it. And man, I wish we had it with 5.0, but there's only so much we could do. We really want to expedite, you know, the features, but at the same time, we can't rush. We got to do this right, right? We got to do this right. And we will take our time because we need to ensure it is solid going forward. And ultimately, we achieve our mission, making OAuth easy, right? So with the resource server support, what we're targeting is for the initial release 5.1 is we're going to provide JWT support, where basically you're going to be able to configure a resource server. We're not going to have like an enable resource server annotation. We're not going to have actually these annotations because we could automatically enable whether it's client or resource server based on Spring Boot properties, for example. I mean, there's different mechanisms, right? We want to make it easier. Like if we could detect, okay, this is a resource server through the environment, then great. Right? Why do we need to, you know, have that extra step for the engineer where we add an annotation? So we're trying to avoid that approach and just make it easier. So with the resource server, obviously we're gonna have our typical DSL, but you're gonna be able to customize different access token formats. So the first access token format is gonna be JWT support, and we're trying to target for opaque token support as well for 5.1. But we'll see if we could get there. Ideally, that's what we would like to do: provide JWT and opaque token support. Opaque token support would, you know, we would have to be able to integrate with the authorization server and the introspection endpoint. So there's a little bit of work involved there as well. We're going to allow for spell expressions for the authorization rules. So same way you've seen with Spring Security OAuth, you know, we'll have a looks like it's going to be a bean instead of a variable, an OAuth 2 bean. And we're going to have some methods like, you know, has scope or has scopes. These kind of, you know, very similar to what we have OAuth. So it's going to be spell supported authorization expressions. And, you know, that's primarily it. That's all you need for a resource server. You know, access token comes in. What kind of access token? Validate it, right? Now it's JWT, so we're going to be able to validate the signature. But the big thing here that we're going to provide that was kind of missing with Spring Security OAuth is being able to extract attributes or claims from the JWT, right? Plug in your own token verifier to verify claims, because the most common one is validating the issuer, right? Mm-hmm. We see that as a use case that's asked quite a bit. We want to be able to validate the issuer on the incoming access token as one of the pre-checks before it goes through the authorization engine, if you want to call it that. Yeah. So that's a typical thing. But, you know, even after it progresses through and, you know, tokens verified, signatures verified, claims are verified, and it passes authorization because the scope that's associated to the access token is available. Right. So it passes. So it's authorized. Now, before it hits the token endpoint, maybe the user wants to be able to extract the claim. Like, for example, they want to extract, you know, the subject claim and then use that in whatever business functionality they have within their resource service. So we're going to have
subject claim. What is the subject claim?
The subject claim is it's basically the end user. So in the case that I was talking about earlier, when I authenticated with Google, what comes back on the user info endpoint or the ID token is the subject claim, SUB, right? Mm-hmm. And it's my unique identifier that identifies me with Google, right? So ultimately, exactly. Like ultimately, I'm registered with Google and my primary key, right? Or my globally unique identifier is identified by the issuer claim and the subject claim. So issuer being Google and subject claim being me, as in a unique number or alphanumeric, right? Yeah. So that's the my globally unique identifier within the provider. That's the subject claim.
Yeah, sounds very useful to be able to validate that, to be able to get access to that and use it as a precheck. Not to mention less computationally inefficient, because if you could just reject it before it even gets into the engine, you know, that's valuable.
Exactly. So yeah, so that's what we're targeting for 5.1. You know, mainly JWT, JWK support. JWK is in JSON Web Keys, because that's ultimately where we're going to fetch. It allows you to fetch the public keys or the verification keys from the authorization server, so that way we could validate the signatures coming in, you know, into the resource server. So those are the core features that we're targeting at minimum, but we would really like to get opaque support as well for 5.1.
Awesome. Well, that's very cool. Is there anything that you want listeners to check out, to see? Where should they go to learn more? Things that they should look into?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll just add to that. After 5.1 resource servers, we're going to start looking at authorization server support as well, because ultimately we're looking to reach feature parity with the current OAuth features spread across four projects that I mentioned earlier. Like, that's our target. Like, our target ultimately is to reach feature parity. When we reach feature parity, those other projects, specifically Spring Security OAuth and the other pieces of functionality, will get retired and will a year after that, for example, and we'll continue to build the support within Spring Security. So authorization server support's going to start after 5.1. That's going to be a huge undertaking. Yeah. It's going to take quite a bit of effort there, but we need to provide that support as well.
Users who are using the existing stuff who want to move to Spring Boot 2.0, which of course builds on Spring Security 5. What is their migration path for the moment?
For the moment, you know, right now OAuth, like OAuth 2 login, there's still quite a bit of functionality that needs to get built into the client before there really is value for a user to start migrating. And that's going to happen in 5.1, because, you know, I'm continuing to build more of the client features, specifically the other grants. We got to at least provide the four standard grants. Right now it's basically, we got authorization code grant that's in master right now, but we also need to provide client credentials at the very minimum and implicit. We'll probably as well provide resource owner as well. So that has to happen before we could start start asking users or recommending users to start migrating their client functionality from Spring Security OAuth 2. Whatever to Spring Security 5. When that happens after 5.1 release, we're going to be pretty, we're going to announce this and be pretty public to users. You know, we highly recommend you to migrate. And at that point, there will be a migration path. Likely it's going to be a sample. Okay, here's a OAuth client application, Spring Security OAuth OAuth application, and then here's a Spring Security 5 equivalent OAuth application, and we'll have documentation on exactly what the user needs to do to migrate, right? Once again, critical, right? Documentation, samples, making it easy for the user, because ultimately we want them to migrate, right? So we got to make it easy for them.
So is there an auto configuration that gives you some of the support that was in Spring Boot 1.5 for users today? In the meantime, a temporary one, a shim, if you will?
Yeah, the Spring, so the auto configuration classes that were in Spring Boot 1.5, I mean, that are still in Spring Boot 1.5, have been removed in Spring Boot 2. Right. And during that process, I mean, if you want to use Spring Boot 2 and you want to use Spring Security OAuth, you have to include this other dependency. We extracted all that logic, all the auto configuration classes from Spring Boot 1.5.x, specifically the resource server auto configuration and client auto configuration, into this separate project, Spring Security OAuth 2 Boot. It's in the blog post, and it's also in the Spring Security Wiki page. You'll see an OAuth feature matrix, and there's links to that GitHub repository. But you have to include that dependency in a Spring Boot 2 application to also have the same auto configuration specifically for a resource server and your enable OAuth 2 SSO annotation and so forth.
So resources like that, are there? Where can people find you on Twitter, for example, if they want to reach out, or where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at under joe_ Grandja, so GRANDJA. Obviously, you could see me on the Spring team page,
and which is Spring.io/team.
Spring.io/teams, I believe it is. Yeah.
Yep. And if people have questions, and I'm sure they will, where would you recommend they go? I know we have a Gitter chat room, gitter.im/spring-projects/spring-security. Do you monitor the Stack Overflow tags?
Yeah, I do monitor the Stack Overflow a bit and a little bit on Gitter, but ideally the best place really is login issue, even if it's a question on Spring Security. The more detail, the better, right?
On GitHub.com/spring-projects/spring-security.
Yes. Thanks, Josh. But yeah, that's really the ideal place, because that way you could keep the dialogue in one spot, and it's just not kind of spread out as I find on Gitter, for example. It's just more focused, and even logging feature requests. If you're looking for a specific feature, please log it. And we can prioritize based on votes, for example. So yeah.
Awesome. I have done a Spring tips video on the OAuth client support in Spring Security 5. That'll be out if you go to spring.io/video, and that'll take you to the YouTube page or our YouTube page. And there you can go to the playlists and you find Spring tips under that. And you'll see that video there for your edification. All right, Joe, anything you want to add as we wrap up here, my friend?
No, I am good. I am good. Thanks, Josh.
Well, thanks for hanging out, buddy. It's great to talk to you again. Look forward to seeing you sooner rather than later in Toronto or wherever else we get a chance to be. Last time I saw you was Spring 1, but before that it was in China, wasn't it? I mean, so...
Yeah.
You tend to get around Mr. OAuth, very, very popular guy. All right. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.
Josh, thanks for having me.
Pleasure, man.
Definitely. Cheers. See you.
Because I believe that everything we do in software is for and made better by people. I want to hear from you. I'm josh@joshlong.com by email or at starbuxman on Twitter, where of course my direct messages are wide open. Do you have guest ideas, topic suggestions, feedback? Don't hesitate to reach out. If you like the show, then please consider rating it on iTunes and leaving a review, as it really helps the show. I sampled music from Steve Combs's Them from Morning in Springtime and Steve Combs' Small Victory, both of which are licensed under a Creative Commons license. I'm trying to hire production assistants to make the production of this podcast easier. I want to make sure that we can add things like show notes and transcripts and just generally do more. If you would like to advertise on the show, then please reach out to me. And if you can't or don't want to advertise but would like to otherwise support the show, then please consider supporting me at patreon.com, patreon.com/JoshLong for as low as $4 a month. Thanks again. No harm came to any seasons in the making of this podcast.